before we get this episode started officially, I wanted to ask all of our listeners to please take a moment to review our podcast on the iTunes Store or on whatever podcast listening platform you are currently enjoying this podcast on. It really helps us to find new listeners, make new awesome content for you guys, and expand. So stay tuned. At the end of the episode, we'll have a brief little intro about how to review a podcast on the iTunes Store if you've never done it.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Double Shelix. And I'm Kayla.
And I'm Sally.
And today, we are going to be talking about listener comments and questions.
Listeners have commented and may have questioned, and we're so excited to bring some of their voices to our podcast. So later in the episode, we're going to share some classic Better Talk Next Time stories from some listeners out there. And listeners, please continue to send us your Better Talk Next Time stories because we love them. But another listener told us that, like, you know, maybe these Better Talk Next Time stories are sad and heartbreaking, so maybe you should share some positive role models on your podcast, like the late, the great Professor Millie Dresselhaus. While I believe that, you know, listener stories are important to share, Millie Dresselhaus is freaking amazing, and so I am delighted to talk about her on the podcast right now.
Right, so the way that this listener story came up was in reference to a recent GE commercial in which Millie Dresselhaus is portrayed as a celebrity. She's on a t-shirt, or she's
taking selfies with fans, or like announcing a new discovery, and she has like a billion followers on Twitter. And the idea is like, what if we treated female scientists like celebrities? And like a little girl is like, oh, a Millie Dresselhaus doll! And there's like four little girls dressed up as her for Halloween, and it's like the cutest and most wonderful thing you've ever seen in your life. And then you're like, what is this a commercial for? But you don't really care because it's so wonderful. Talking all about Millie, the queen of carbon science. And in the end, it's like from GE, who was like, what if we treated female scientists like rock stars? Well, at GE, we have the goal of 20,000 women in technical roles by 2020. So like GE, if you need one, like we're not almost graduated, but like, you know, by the time we release this episode, maybe we'll be. Maybe.
Okay, so.
But jokes aside, it was a really cool commercial that got a lot of play. It was released back in February, and unfortunately, Professor Dresselhaus passed away like 2 weeks after that. So
yeah,
that was really sad and a huge loss for the scientific community and for advocates for women in STEM and for carbon as material.
Yeah, so I'd love to talk a little bit about what she did, what she accomplished during her lifetime, both scientifically and as a professional advocating for working in STEM, and particularly for women in STEM. So
cool. Take it away.
Yeah, first of all, Queen of Carbon is an awesome name.
Yes.
I can only aspire to be the queen of some type of science.
Carbon's everywhere.
Yes, it is. She started studying and working in carbon at a time when this was not a hot area. And what I appreciate about her is that she was such a visionary. So among her many accomplishments, she was able to predict the structure of carbon nanotubes.
Like before they were even made?
Before they were even made.
Of course she could, because she's amazing.
Which is really fascinating. And on top of that, a lot of her work was fundamental for different technologies that we have. So, for example, studying the thermal properties of graphene or other structures made by carbon. And
like carbon fiber?
Exactly. Carbon fibers. Really cool. Carbon nanotubes.
Carbon is so cool.
Really cool.
And it's wild to think that, like, back in the day, she was like, I'm going to study carbon. And everyone else was like, okay, whatever. And then she killed it, and now we know so much more about carbon thanks to her work and that of her students. And in addition to her awesome work, for which she was awarded the National Medal of Science and Engineering, she was also won the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
So that's the highest civilian award in the country. And this was not only for, like Kayla mentioned, the like astronomical discoveries in carbon science and the use of carbon as a material, but also for her role to support women in scientific careers and women in scientific education, training women as scientists and supporting them. When she started at MIT, only 4% of MIT undergrads were women. And I was reading that, like, it was actually harder to get into MIT as a woman because the admissions committee was like, oh, well, there's fewer dorms for women. So then it became, and so she advocated for, like, equal treatment of everyone in the admissions committee as opposed to being like, well, this is how many spaces we have for women, and then everyone else can be a man.
She was just a powerhouse in so many regards. It's really impressive. And on top of that, she's so enthusiastic.
Yes.
So I think I want to take a moment to think about what we can learn and model from the things that she did. So not only was she amazing at her work and clearly thinking creatively and thinking ahead and putting together ideas that others had not yet put together or hadn't considered.
Like, she laid the foundation for all of carbon nanotechnology.
Which is...
so casual.
You know. Yeah. 1,700 papers, you know, whatever. That's fine. So, not only this, which is something to aspire to in its own sense, but that she was so bold in going forward into a field that was not necessarily receptive of women in science at the time. And so I find that inspiring.
Absolutely. And obviously, everyone can do whatever they want. And some people go out of their way to support women in science and to support, like, efforts to make science accessible to everyone and to make anyone who wants to become a scientist, and some people don't. And the fact that she's acknowledged in such public ways for not only her killing it as a scientist, but also being so supportive of women in science, I think so many people think, like, oh, like, I would love to volunteer or, like, mentor, but it will negatively impact my career. But you can't have it all. And I think what you mentioned about her, even after her death, being remembered as someone who was very enthusiastic about her work and about science in general, I think that's important for me to hear, because so often, like, I've definitely been told, like, it's great that you're so enthusiastic, but you should tone it down a little bit, otherwise people won't take you seriously.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't know, if my enthusiasm bothers you, maybe that's a you problem. I've always felt that, but, like, it's hard to act on that, so... shout out to Millie for showing us how it's done. And it is okay to be enthusiastic about your work. And you can be enthusiastic and still be taken seriously as a scholar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the key here being that she was a really good scholar.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. Just a fantastic scientist.
She was awesome. So, speaking of her scientific work, the journalist Ira Flatow was speaking of her work, and he said that Professor Dressel House laid the foundation of nanotechnology by predicting the existence of carbon nanotubes before anyone had actually seen these tiny but very strong structures for the first time. That's
good
wild.
Picture of the kind of work that she
right, was
doing.
Right, and today, nanotubes are used for everything from batteries and making cars and airplanes to be lighter but still strong. They're used in different kinds of sporting goods. I know researchers who are looking to use carbon nanotubes in biomedical applications. Oh, Millie's amazing, and I think that we should treat all great scientists like they're stars, and female scientists, stars. Maybe I'm just like I am a science dork, and so in my mind, I definitely have science crushes that are celebrities, but, like, maybe only to me and, like, five other people. But I'm always, when I see them at conferences or, like, out and about in the town, like, when I, like, run into a science celebrity on campus, like, I never go up and say, oh my gosh, you're amazing, and I love your work, and keep doing your best and living your best life because you're incredible. And, like, I want to, but I don't want to be a weirdo, so I never have. But, like, my goal for the next year is to, like, meet a science celebrity and tell them that they're awesome. Being weird. But if it's only a little weird, that's okay, because they probably won't remember me.
Yeah, I totally understand. I think I feel that way about, I catch myself feeling that way about most professors.
Yeah. Well, is that because, like, obviously not all professors are Millie Dressel House, bow down to the queen of carbon science, but there's also with all professors, it's sort of maybe wearing off a little bit as I'm, like, no longer an undergrad and, like, I've been in grad school for a while, but it's also, like, a power thing.
Yeah,
like, professors have all the wisdom and all the money and all the knowledge. I don't know.
academia has a very clear hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think ultimately is good for the business model of academia, if that makes sense.
How so?
It's important to have someone who has a lot of expertise.
And who can teach you.
That's passing on this knowledge.
Oh, sure.
And I think that it's also useful to have someone who's in training to have these experts to study or to understand how to grow into being a scientist that is successful. It does become problematic when, well, one, when people abuse that power, but...
Like, be careful whose mentorship style you emulate.
Yeah, exactly. But putting those cases aside for the moment, it also becomes problem on a more subtle level when, for example, someone like me lets that hierarchy difference or that admiration become an anxiety moment where I'm afraid to go up to talk to someone.
It's like you need to learn about someone's research for real, not just in, like, a celebrity crush moment, and you, like, have a meeting with them.
Yeah.
And you, like, want to ask them about your project and, like, making your chip better.
Yeah.
But they're so amazing, and then it, like, weirds you out. Yeah, and honestly, it's sometimes still intimidating to speak with professors, especially ones that you don't have, like, an existing relationship with. Like, you're not in their class, and so therefore you have an excuse to speak with them.
Yeah.
Or, like, you're not collaborating with them on a project, and, like, your PI emailed you and told you to go talk to them, so, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But one of the professors that I really admired, one time she came back from a conference, and she said something along the lines of, you know, I was at this conference, and it was really good, but, like, the whole time, no students came up to talk to me. And in my mind, I was like, no shit, because you're amazing, and that would be intimidating to anyone who didn't know you personally already.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's how professors really feel, like, if they want us to come talk to them at a conference, then why not? You know, so then
exactly.
When I heard this, and then I went to a conference, and I, like, went up and talked to people, even though it was scary.
Yeah. I've definitely heard lots of professors say, yeah, please come talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why it still holds me up, but I definitely have to be very intentional about it, and... I think what's helpful is to think very clearly about what I might want to say so that when I get there, I'm not just like, awkward. So,
yeah.
What
so
do you do on the weekends? I don't know.
One of my science crushes who's a faculty at Berkeley and, like, we've never met, and so I have, like, no legitimate reason to, like, speak with this person. But I heard them on another science podcast. So for the next month, I was like, okay, if I see this person, like, in line at the coffee shop or... like, walking to campus or whatever, I could go up and my opening line can be, oh my gosh, I heard you on blah, blah, blah podcast, like, 2 weeks ago, and it was phenomenal. Thank you for speaking so eloquently about your work to the public. Boom, perfect. You're complimenting them. You're, like, showing that you know what they do, and then you can walk away, and it's fine. But I didn't see them for, like, a month. And then I figured it would be creepy to be, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's a little...
So I'll think of something. Maybe they'll be on another podcast. But anyway,
yeah.
Science celebrities, you should treat female scientists who are awesome like celebrities. And maybe I will go as Millie Dresselhaus for Halloween.
That would be awesome. And then when people ask you who you are, you can say, I'm Millie Dresselhaus. And if they say, who's Millie Dresselhaus?
You can be like, well.
Let me tell you.
Though, last year for Halloween, I went as Elizabeth Holmes, chronically embattled Theranos founder. Mm. And I have blonde hair, so I, like, put it in, like, a messy, like, frazzled ponytail, and I wore a black turtleneck, because this was, like, when she was still in her Steve Jobs face, and I, like, did heavy eye makeup, and I, like, had this just look in my face, like, the face look that she has in all the pictures of her, like, intense but powerful, and I, like, did that face. I walk into the Halloween party, and it was with people that I didn't know anyone at this party, except for the person I was going with. The person opened the door and was like, Elizabeth Holmes! And I was like, yes! It worked! So maybe, like, I have the right friends that they would respect a Millie costume. And in the commercial, you should definitely just Google Millie Dresselhaus and it will come up, but it's like a GE commercial. Anyway, in the commercial, they definitely have her wearing, like, the same outfit and everything, which is a white button-down shirt with a red sweater, her Presidential Medal of Freedom, shout out, and then her white hair in two braids that crisscross in the front. So, like, I could do that. Like, I don't have white hair, but, you know,
you can make
details.
You can make it work.
I can make it work. So, anyway, Millie Dresselhaus, you're a goddess. female scientists should be celebrities. Listeners, if you have any stories about your science crush or meeting your favorite science celebrity, please write in, because give us some tips about how we should meet our science celebrities. Like, was it everything you imagined? Were they amazing, or were they annoying, and did they, like, crush your dreams? Fill us in.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I hope that our discussion of Millie Dresselhaus has lifted your spirits and showed you the power of women in STEM and the power of women supporting women in STEM.
Yes. And on that note, so, let's talk about how we can support each other.
It's Better Talk next time.
Yes, it is.
This is one of the listeners' favorite segments, and we're so happy to share listener stories instead of just things that have happened to us.
Yeah.
And it's good to know that I'm, like, not the only one. Okay. Do you want to read the first one, or do you want me to read the first one?
Go for it.
Okay. So, this is from a listener. Anonymous, obviously. Here we go. Dear Sally and Kayla, here is my Better Talk next time submission. This one is particularly egregious because it comes from a guy I was dating at the time, and I didn't immediately break up with him. I mean, girl, we've all been there. Fair. We could have a podcast called, like, Shit My Ex-Boyfriend Said, but no, because we don't want them to make a podcast called, like, Shit My Ex-Girlfriend Said, right? So, respect. But we've all been there. It's okay. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I'm interrupting my own self reading this thing. Anyway, he was going through his senior design project in his final year in his undergraduate engineering degree. Senior design, y'all. Mm. It was a team-based project, of course, and his team was comprised of him, his male best friend, and two female classmates. He was complaining to me that the majority of work was being done by his best friend and him, and that the other two were just not pulling their weight. I mean, I feel like we've all been in that situation. He pauses and says to me, quote, "You know, you may be the best female engineer I know." Oh. I didn't say anything at the time, and even may have felt a little bit flattered. Okay. But it was a line that bothered me for a while, and remarks like this ended up being a big part of why we broke up. Good on you, girl. What I should have said is, first of all, are you perhaps conflating your teammates not reaching your expectations because that's who they are as people with your teammates not reaching your expectations because they're women? Yes, he probably was doing that. Okay. Secondly, if you're trying to draw conclusions from the, like, four female engineers you know compared to the 100 male engineers you know, can we talk about sampling bias for a second? Yes, we can talk about sampling bias for a second. The engineers you know best are the guys you drink beers and play video games with, parentheses, and other male-centric hobbies. And you all get great grades because you all study together and, let's face it, quote, generously help each other out with homework. We've all been in classes where there's, like, a group of bros who, like, does each other's homework for themselves.
Yes.
Anyway, the quote, female engineers you know are not your friends that you know well and are essentially randomly chosen from the bell curve of your engineering class. So yeah, some of them are going to be below average. So would a random selection of guys from your class, because that is how averages work. Third, if you think I'm a great engineer, I would far rather be described as the top 10 engineer I know, or top 50 engineer I know, rather than best female engineer. Why does my gender need to be a part of whatever prestigious ranking you've created in your own mind? Just to top it off, I think I actually was a better engineer than him. Yes, girl! Oh my gosh, okay. First of all, yes, go.
I think this listener actually answered the question for us, which is, what could the listener have said in this situation? And I have to agree. You have to make a point that this comment is not appropriate, but then also move on to something more appropriate in a conversation, which is not your gender and rank.
Yeah. Like, and the fact that first he was complaining about these other girls in his class, and then he was like, you were the best female engineer I know. It's like, you don't have to build me up by putting others down. Like, and also, I think her point, like, this is particularly egregious because she was dating the guy at the time and didn't immediately break up. First of all, breaking up is like a 7-unit class, so don't be hard on yourself if it took you a while. But second of all, if you feel that you're in a relationship with someone who doesn't fully support you and your journey as a scientist, as a badass, and as a human person, then they don't belong in your life because you're awesome and you do deserve to be surrounded by people who love you and who support you and who have your back no matter what. And, you know, everyone has people in their life that are, like, casually benevolently sexist. But if you're not being supported in your science dreams, by your number one significant other. Don't give them the time of day because you're a star and you're worth it. And you can just follow your dreams.
It's unfortunate when you get a comment like that from someone that you're more personally involved with.
Like, whether it's your boyfriend or your parents or your family or whatever.
It's frustrating or annoying if it comes from a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes from someone that is supporting you, it's kind of...
Yeah. It's on the one hand, like, you know, they eventually broke up, so he obviously wasn't the one for her, because he obviously sucks. No. He obviously isn't the one for her. But, you know, if you are in a close personal relationship with someone who sometimes says these kinds of things, like, who better than you to show them how they might be thinking differently, or how they could think differently, or how they could, you know, open their mind to the fact that women belong in STEM and women are awesome at science. Or whatever, like, issue you disagree about. So, like, on the one hand, if they suck, you should break up because you deserve the best. But on the other hand, if they just have a little bit to learn, like, consider that you are in a primo place to, like, help them come to that realization.
And it doesn't have to be a snappy or rude response.
No, exactly. You can take the time to talk it out.
If it's someone that you know and someone that you care about, that's the best opportunity to say, I actually didn't appreciate that comment, and here's why,
and if they're awesome, you know, they'll be receptive to that.
Exactly. I would want someone to say that to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, listener. I'm sorry you went through this experience, but you're a star, and you do belong in science.
Agreed.
Or if you're not a scientist, that's okay, too. Do you want to take the second one?
Yeah, so I'll just go ahead and read the story. So.
All right.
The listener says, in my undergraduate institution, we had engineering computer labs with all the software we might need for our engineering classes. And people would use them all the time for other activities that didn't require specialized software, typing up lab reports, for example. I was talking with a guy friend who complained to me that someone who wasn't in engineering was using our computer lab. Naturally, I asked how he knew the person wasn't in engineering. He replied, well, her desktop background was of a model walking on a catwalk, and female engineers aren't interested in fashion. I replied, I like fashion. But I probably should have launched into a discussion of gatekeeping and unconscious bias, and then unfair connotation that typical female interests, fashion for example, are superficial and only for airheads with stereotyped male interests, such as sports and other meaningful hobbies.
Yes.
So, I think there's a couple of things going on here.
Which, yeah, take it away. Have your pick.
First of all, I'm very troubled that many people who are not in science don't actually know what a scientist does, mm-hmm. or what a scientist looks like, or what a scientist acts like. And the problem becomes when you don't have a real scientist in your life and you don't actually have...
But this person does have a real scientist in his life, because if he was in the engineering computer lab, like...
Well, here's the problem. He's not interacting with enough female engineers if he thinks that none of them...
So this is like a person within science who doesn't understand that scientists... Yeah. Like, let alone people not in science, but he knows scientists.
Yeah.
He still doesn't know scientists enough to realize that, like... Scientists actually have all kinds of hobbies. And also, the point that the listener brings up in this last thing here, where she says, like, you know, the unfair connotation that female interests like fashion are superficial and only for airheads, while male interests like sports are meaningful hobbies. Yes. OMG. Yes. Like, professional sports. Sure. That's cool. It's many people's hobby. Like, why is that a more legitimate hobby than, I don't know, arts and crafts?
Yeah.
You know?
I think the other thing that I want to note about this story is that if this female engineer is interested in fashion, it seems like in order to become a serious engineer, the engineer is being asked to give up anything that's stereotypically a female hobby.
Yes.
And that's the implication of the statement, which is also...
Which
also perpetuates the idea that engineers and scientists are nerds, and if there's a female engineer or scientist, they must be 10 times nerd.
Yeah. Or, like, first of all, anyone can like fashion. You don't have to be a female to like fashion.
There's, yeah, a lot of weird things going on there.
The listener has hit the nail on the head, right? Like, why, that's unfair to say that people who have female interests can't be real engineers. And also, the, like, hierarchy of hobbies. So I feel like, among scientists, like, not hating on anyone who does these hobbies, okay? But one time, I was at, like, a welcome thing, and you, like, said your name and your hobby. Like, 10 out of 40 people said that their hobby was trail running. Another 10 said that it was, like, hiking or the outdoors. Or bicycling. And then some people said, like, you know, Netflix or cooking or whatever. But, like, why is some hobbies considered legit and other hobbies considered... Like, maybe I'll post it on Twitter on the podcast feed, but there was this great article about, like, the perception of legitimacy among hobbies and how, like, people were talking about in this article basically about how, like, my boss doesn't care that my colleagues go running and train for a marathon, which takes, like, forever, but has a lot of problems with the fact that I spend my time writing this blog instead of writing my papers.
Hmm. I see. Interesting.
So the hierarchy of hobbies, I mean, it's their hobbies. It's fun. Like, get over it.
We have to have at least one thing that we're not trying to optimize.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, listeners, you already know what to better talk next time. But keep these coming, and we will be happy to share more in the future.
I want to echo something. I want to echo that it's really frustrating when people make a comment like this, especially when it catches you off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't let it change your focus on everything else that you do. I think that too often when I get some kind of comment about some physical aspect of myself that I find very frustrating, I let myself think about what I'm doing as through that lens. So I'm thinking about how maybe what I'm doing is, or maybe I am not actually as serious as a scientist, because clearly this person can't even take me seriously at a restaurant or whatever.
Right.
So, but, you know, that's not the case. And at the end of the day, if you're doing work in science, like, do the science and just keep going. And don't
let the haters dull your flame, because you're a star.
Don't let it
and take... guess what? You do belong in science. I've said that a million times, but I think it's important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I appreciate your encouragement.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah.
Well, those are two of the listener letters that we've gotten. Another thing I wanted to just bring up was someone was listening to this podcast, and they said something along the lines of, Sally, no one is going to hire you after they hear this podcast because you're just saying your opinion and talking about inappropriate things that aren't appropriate for the workplace. This is not the workplace. This is just my podcast and Kayla's podcast. So future employers, please still hire us. And honestly, if someone listens to this podcast and is like, outspoken women, I don't want them. Like, I don't want to work there.
That's fair, yeah.
So, anyway, listeners, still hire us. Haters, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I think that about wraps it up for our first ever listener episode. Totally driven by the listeners' ideas and what the listeners want to hear. If there's more things, listeners, that you want to hear, I know that there are, please send it our way. And also, we're going to start having guests. So if there's anyone that wants to be a guest, or if you know anyone that you would like to nominate to be a guest, please do so. Our email, doubleshelixpodcast@gmail.com, on Instagram @doubleshelixpodcast, and on Twitter @doubleshelixpod. I'd like to highlight one of the best tweets of the last month, which I retweeted, because, you know, I'm not that creative. let me find it. Hang on. We'll cut this part out. Okay. This is a tweet from Stacey Marie Ishmael, whose Twitter handle is @S_M_I. She tweeted, I want to not hate the phrase diverse hiring, but you are either hiring or you are discriminating. It's V straightforward. So think about that. I think we're going to talk about the pipeline problem and, quote, diverse hiring in an upcoming episode. But that's just something to tide you over until next time. Follow us on Twitter for more gems such as this. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
You guys are awesome, and you do belong in science. Kayla, have you reviewed our podcast on the iTunes Store?
Sally, I am technologically inept. Can you tell me how to do this so that I can also review the podcast on the
No shame. It took me a long time to figure out how to review podcasts on the iTunes Store. So, everyone, open up your iTunes Store. If you're listening to this podcast on the iTunes Store...
Okay, I've got it open.
Mine is, like, frozen. Okay, I'll just show you how to do it on yours.
Okay. Just tell me how to do it.
So, go in the bottom bar, click on search, the little microphone. I mean, magnifying glass.
And search
The name of our podcast, Double Sheelix. Okay. You can't just, if you subscribe, you can't just go to, like, the main Double Sheelix page that's up when you're listening to an episode. You have to specifically search it. Search Double Sheelix. It's two words.
Oh. Yes, already stumbled there.
Oh, it's one of the autocomplete options. I feel so legit. Okay.
Yes.
Then underneath podcast, click on podcast. Don't just click on one of our episodes, like click on the main podcast.
Reviews?
Then you'll see three tabs, details, reviews, and related. Then click on write a review.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Then give us 5 stars.
Yes.
Put a title for your review, like awesome or great. Or you're a true champion and none could be better. Something such as this. Oh, you picked awesome with one. Oh, good, good. Then you can write a review or just give us 5 stars. Oh, you have to write something, I guess. You love it! Exclamation. Perfect. Yeah. And then you say send.
Wow, that was actually...
Oh. Enter a nickname.
Okay.
You have to pick a unique nickname because it made me do it like 3 times until I got a unique nickname. So you could just enter a random string.
Hey, that works.
So we just posted Kayla's, so now we have 6 reviews. Should we, like, incentivize our listeners to review us?
So we should incentivize people.
So if we get 20 reviews, which sounds like not very many, but honestly, like, most podcasts have less than 5, so getting 20, like, in the same week, that would be phenomenal. So just review us on the iTunes Store, like, right now.
Yeah.
You already know how to do it. If we get 20... Will what, like, bring in snacks for our lab mates?
Yeah.
So if you don't know us personally, this does not benefit you.
But, you know, think about, you would want someone else to do the same for you.
Yeah.
If you know that there's going to be snacks.
And if you are around and you, like, know us, but you're not in our lab, you can, like, still have snacks. And if you don't know us, we will, like, live tweet the snack eating. I don't know.
Just know you've done a good deed.
You have provided food to struggling graduate students.
Homemade. I'll go homemade.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I'm too cheap to, like, buy food from the store. Ooh, and I've been really into, like, baking bread lately, so it might be bread.
It's true. And homemade bread is definitely has its own flavor and texture and deliciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this has gone on long enough. Please review us on the... By now, you should have already reviewed us on the iTunes Store, because it takes less time to review us on the iTunes Store than we have been babbling just now.
Maybe a few times. Yes.
You could have reviewed us, like, 6 times. Okay. Thanks, listeners. Thanks. You're the best, and you do belong in science. Okay.